the members to introduce themselves. Member Stock.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Ms. Tema. My name is Dikgang Stock. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, as well as the subcommittee which deals with the interviews. Thanks.
Good morning, Ms. Tema. My name is Bridget Masango, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development and also part of the subcommittee conducting interviews. You are welcome this morning.
Morning, lady. I'm Leticia Aris. I'm a member of the Portfolio Social Development. Welcome here.
Good morning, Ms. Tema, and welcome. I am Dalmaine Christians. I'm a member of the Select Committee and of the Subcommittee.
Good morning, Ms. Tema. My name is Otto Malik. I'm a member of the Select Committee and the Subcommittee.
Thank you very much, members, for that introduction. Ms. Tema, I will strictly go to the first question that I will pose to you, and just relax. If you feel comfortable, you can take off your mask. Now you can tell us a bit about yourself. And why are you interested in committing your time and energy to serve on the CDA board? And if you will be appointed, what will you bring into the work of the CDA? You can have that conversation in 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Dimakatso Jane Tema. I'm a pastor and a director of an NPO called Dimakatso J. Tema Prevention and Aftercare Center. We have started the NPO in 2015, November, and we are intensively interacting with the people who are using the drugs in Bela Bela, more especially Nyaope. And what we are also doing on daily basis before these lockdowns is I would go to the schools, go to the other churches, and talk about the prevention on the drugs and substance abuse to the children at school, and as I've indicated. From our NPO, we started as a rehabilitation center whereby we would have more than 100 of the people who are using drugs, both male and female. And we managed to rehabilitate about 54 of them who are currently, since 2015 to date, who are currently clean, not using the drugs anymore. And as a pastor, I've realized that we cannot just have a church and preaching on Sunday, but whereas we have social ills, because in our province, I believe Bela Bela is a town where we suffer most with children using or youngsters using the drugs. And another thing what prompted me to do this is because of the crime rate that was going high, and we were burying about 40 children per month who are using these drugs. And Hence, we started this and the NPO just to assist, just to be hands-on, just to do something for our community in Bela Bela. If I were to be appointed in the Central Drug Authority Board, I would bring the experience that I have in trying to get this the drug addiction, the experience that I have in prevention, the experience that I have in an aftercare service, and to integrate the abusers to back to the community.
Thank you. Your time has expired on that question. Can we move to the next question, please? Thank you.
Thank you. The Central Drug Authority was established by an Act of Parliament. Which Act is that, and what does the Act seek to achieve?
The Act is Prevention for and Treatment of for Substance Abuse Act number 70 of 2008. The Act, what try to achieve is to combat the abuse of drugs. This Act is to bring the government together so that they can together deal with the abuse. The Act, again, what it needs to achieve is to give guidance to the nation in terms of the drug trafficking. And another thing that this Act speaks to is the development of the National Drug Master Plan, of which needs to be reviewed after 5 years, and that needs to be reviewed after 5 years, and again, it's a advising document or a guiding document to the minister or to the government as whole on the issues of drugs. And this Act again seeks or encourages other departments to have the performance indicators or to have their own plans on the issues of drugs and substance abuse. Thank you.
In your own assessment, do you think that the CDA performs its mandate efficiently? If you say yes, how? And if not, what are the shortcomings? You can highlight both with regards to the LIS mandate as well as ensuring compliance, accountability, monitoring, development and implementation of the department's drug master plan by national and provincial drug master plans by provincial forums. And then the other question is, how are you proposing to address these shortcomings?
I don't think I got your question clearly. May you please repeat it for me?
write it down.
Okay. In your own assessment, do you think that the CDA performs its mandate efficiently? If yes, how so? And if not, what are the shortcomings? Then I say to you, you can highlight both with regards to its mandate as well as ensuring compliance, accountability and monitoring, development and implementation of the departmental drug master plans by national departments and provincial drug master plans by provincial forums. Then I ask you, how are you proposing to address these shortcomings?
Okay, thank you. You see the National Drug Master Plan on its mandate to ensure that the CDA run efficiently. I can say, according to the objectives and what is in there, it's good. However, I can see some shortfalls maybe for the members or some stakeholders that are not fully committed. You know, as we attend the meetings from the locals and provincial levels, You can see that there are some loopholes in terms of not people giving a fully attention to what is expected of them. You see that some, like for instance, when the report needs to be submitted, I just have to be honest, then you cannot find those reports if you need some support from other departments. You cannot get that support. So as NGOs and NPOs, we tend to be more hands-on and fully engaged than the other stakeholders. But what I'm trying to say is, if everybody can be hands-on and the issues of accountability, on the issues of accountability, we can go and we can do a lot on that, because the monitoring and evaluation plan is there. But previously, we can see that it was not fully attended to according to the National Drug Master Plan. However, I think with this new development, we will be able to achieve our goal, which says that we need a drug-free South Africa. So if we can, or everybody can be hands-on, I think who will do better. Thank you.
Right. The National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 represents a multi-sectoral approach to create a South Africa free from the harms associated with drug abuse, drug misuse, and drug use. The plan observes national and international plans, policies, and conventions to ensure respect and dignity for all people in South Africa. So if you are appointed as a board member of the CDA, you will be expected to implement the authority's mandate. So if you could please share with us your understanding of the objectives of the National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 and how you think the CDA should achieve those objectives.
Thank you, Ma. The objectives of the National Drug Master Plan, as we said, is about to combat the drug abuse. The objective is to make sure that the spheres of the government, not the spheres, sorry, the government and yeah they and they are coming together on this plan. They are coming together to work together in terms of dealing with the abuse of the drugs. So I don't know if I got the question.
The question says, if you are appointed as a board member, you will be expected to implement the mandate of the authority. So if you could share with the panel your own understanding of the objectives of the National Drug Master Plan. That is the first part of the question. And the second one is how do you think the CDA should achieve those objectives? And
I think that what I'm doing on a daily basis, I'm trying to, as an NGO, I'm trying to implement from time to time what is needed. From the Act and both the National Drug Master Plan. So I think if the main issue in South Africa, the problem that we are having is the rate that's growing very high on the substance abuse. So the Drug Master Plan says to us that come, let's work together. Let's deal with this. Let's combat this issue of drug abuse. Let's reduce the supplement. The supply. Sorry. Let's reduce the supply. Let's reduce the harm that it brings. Let's reduce the demand that it brings to us. So
As the CDA, we need just to ensure that we, by being like focused, giving our full attention to what is happening to this drug, National Drug Master Plan, I think we'll be able to achieve our goal. Thank you.
Right. I just want to, because you've outlined the objectives and how people, what people should do, I just want to take you back to where I was. I mentioned the South Africa having signed international conventions, and find out how you think that being a signatory of those conventions would assist or would add value to the work of the CDA to achieve its objectives.
Sure, that one, to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I will answer it correctly. I think that it will be signing with other countries, it will serve as working together with other countries to say, look, we are having borders, we are interacting from time to time. So let's say that we as South Africa, this is our goal, we want to have a drug-free country. So it means that we are saying to other countries, this is what we want to achieve. Please don't please, this is what we want to achieve. Please respect our goal. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like the question that the Honourable Member was asking, do you think that the challenges that we are facing in our country are the same as people in other countries, and how can these countries, or how can we learn from these countries, or what can these countries bring to us?
I think that the drug and substance abuse is international. It's the best practices that we can request from other countries that are able to conquer, and even from ourselves, what is that we will be of a role model to other countries in terms of combating this problem that we are having.
Thank you, question four. Member Stong.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Tema, what is your understanding of good governance, including its main features, and how would you ensure good governance in the CDA? You've got 3 minutes.
Sorry, Chair. I needed to ask 3.2. Sorry. I'm very sorry.
Okay, then. Sorry, we will just keep that question, so the member will ask you the question that is supposed to be asked.
Is that okay, Ms. Tema? Okay, I just want to complete, then you can go to the, I'm very sorry, that's my fault. So the question says, prior to the review of the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017, a need to conduct an evaluation was prioritized to assess how it was implemented. Subsequently, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, in partnership with the Department of Social Development, commissioned the implementation evaluation of the previous plan. This evaluation took place between August 2015 and January 2016. So the question says, what were the key findings and recommendations of that evaluation? Thanks. And there's 3 minutes to respond to that question. Thank you.
Okay. One of the findings was the financial resource, the lack of financial resource for the local drug action committee, the provincial substance abuse forum, and the recommendation was that there must be a funding in that school, and the departments, other departments that are not giving fully support, that it was recommended that the people that have to serve must be on from the directorate positions. That's what I can think about.
Thank you. Let's move to question number 4, Maleka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Hema, what is your understanding of good governance, including its main features, and how would you ensure good governance in the CDA? Ensure a good governance in the CDA. Your understanding of a good governance.
The reporting mechanism in terms of ensuring that the good governance is there on the CTA, so we need to strengthen the report mechanism starting from the local to provincial level, and then to and see to it that the monitoring and evaluation programs are put in place at all times. Thank you.
Thank you. We can move to the next question, 5.1.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Tema, what are the key issues affecting young people, families and communities regarding substance abuse? And how would you advise the government to deal with these issues? You have 3 minutes.
Number one is the key issue that is affecting these young people is the issue of a crime. These young people, because of they want to satisfy their craving, they do their house breaks. And another thing is the death. they die in big number. And another thing is the domestic violence, it affects in the family. The drug abuse affects the family in terms of you would see the domestic violence. The rate of schools drop down. They no longer go into school because they are using the drugs. So these are the issues that affecting them, and even murdering each other, you know, these are things that are happening. Thank you.
How, Ms. Tema, how would you advise the government to deal with these issues?
If we can intensify, the government intensify on the programs of getting this the abusers intensify in prevention services. If the government can just build more of the halfway houses, if the government can have more of the centers around, that will help in combating this issue of drug abuse.
Next question, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Tema, in your opinion, what is the state of public rehab centers in the country? Are there any challenges with regard to access to the public rehab centers in South Africa? If yes, what are those challenges, and how would you advise the country to address those challenges?
You see, the challenge, I don't think it's coming basically from the rehab centers, but it's because it happens because of when the abusers, if I may to call that, come back, the aftercare is needed because of, why am I saying this? It's because of the relapses. Because you take people to be rehabilitated, and they will stay at least for some few months or a year, and then but again they relapse. So what is happening is the rehabilitation centers, they are good, they are doing their work, but they are not enough. We need more in South Africa, and again we need an aftercare service that will make sure that these people, they are kept clean. Thank you.
One of the challenges facing the country is the lack of comprehensive national statistics on the prevalence of substance and drug abuse. How can Central Drug Authority play a role in this regard?
CAD, as I was talking about the reporting system, it needs to have the reports, encourage for reports from the locals and the provincial, and have on that report the stats should have a column for the stats of what is happening around South Africa in terms of the abuse of the substance and drugs. So the CAD should make it a baby that from time to time in each meeting that they are having, they must have the stats so that they would be clued up on that. Thank you.
Next question, Member Stock.
Thank you very much, Matema. Recently, there's been much debate in the country around the recent court judgment on the decriminalization of marijuana, cannabis. So I would like you to share what is your opinion regarding that court judgment on the decriminalization of marijuana for personal use. Thanks.
Okay, Merrick.
Recently, there's a court judgment on the decriminalization of the use of for personal use for marijuana, weed or cannabis. So I would like you to share your opinion to the panel. What is your opinion regarding that court judgment? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. The report has shown that there are some sicknesses that can be cured by marijuana. The report has shown that some people, they are taking it for religious purposes. My opinion is that it's fine that it can be used for such purposes which will benefit the person who's using it positively. But the thing is that the particular person, or there should be some regulations, or there should be some letters or certificates that will authenticate the use to that, they used for that particular person who's using it. Thank you.
Thank you. During the COVID-19 pandemic, government introduced a number of lockdown regulations to deal with the spread and to contain the spread of the virus. And now I want you to be more specific in your response. These lockdown regulations which were introduced by government regarding the sale, the ban on the sale of alcohol and tobacco. So please be more specific in your response. Your focus should be on the sale of alcohol. So I want you to advise the panel, if you had to advise government how to deal with the sale of alcohol during a pandemic in the future, if it will exist or if it still persists, what would be your advice to government? And then we've got 3 minutes. Thanks.
My advice, personally, I would say it was good that said that it was banned for that period of lockdown. But unfortunately, as it has been said, that it affected the economy of our country. But as it was banned for that period, I think that the rate of gender-based violence, domestic violence, went down, and any other social health were down, the rates were down by that time. But unfortunately, that when we were having this the unbanning of the alcohol, it went up again. But however, it's two sides of a coin, because if we say we ban it and now our economy goes down. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tema. Is there anything that you would like to ask the panel or to make any comment?
Thank you, Chairperson, and I just want to thank the members of the panel for giving me this opportunity to come here for an interview. I thank you. I just want to make a recommendation that the mainstream, the CDA, should make sure that the mainstreaming of the substance and drug abuse should be on the IDPs of the municipalities. Because why am I saying this? As a person who's coming from a local drug action committees, you would expect that the municipality should spearhead according to the drug master plan, according to the act, that the mayor should be the one who is running forward with the national drug master plan, or chairs the committee, the local committee. But when you go to municipality, you find out that there is non-existence of the LDACA. So if the CDAs can just make sure that all the municipalities, they have the committees, and the political parties, they are hands-on on this committee, I think we will be able to conquer or to achieve the goal according to the act. Because if we don't have their buy-in, there's nothing that we are able to achieve. So we are failing because of the buy-in of our political leaders.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Tema. We will really look into that. Members, our next candidate will be Ms. Vermeulen from Gauteng Province. Let's just take a 5-minute comfort.